This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Community development is not inherently a negative thing. But for many in St. Louis, especially Black and low-income people, those terms are euphemisms for gentrification, a process of selective investment that drives out existing residents and vital resources, like businesses and schools, to make way for quote-unquote upgrades, and that includes new buildings, ventures, and people. To turn that around, a local initiative called Rooted, which comes out of the nonprofit organization Invest STL, is putting wealth-building capital in the hands of longtime homeowners in the West End and Visitation Park neighborhoods. Dara Eskridge is Invest STL CEO, and she joins us now to talk about Rooted and why the program has attracted interest in our region and among leaders across the country, too. Dara, welcome back to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you so much, Elaine.
So give us some basics here. How does the Rooted program work?
So the fundamentals of it is we've got 50 families who live in the West End and Visitation Park that were randomly selected in part because they've lived in the neighborhoods since 2016 or prior, really showing that this is a place that they call home and that they're committed to, not just seeing it as a speculative buying opportunity. And the 50 families are all paired with financial advisors, so not budget coaches, but actual wealth advisors that you would see at the private, you know, equity side of a bank. Mm-hmm. And working with their financial advisors, the families get to really think about what are their long-term wealth-building goals, what are their dreams for their families. And then once they've got that plan in place, they've got $22,000 that they can invest. The first $2,000 is dedicated to debt mitigation, handling immediate needs, starting or expanding a savings account. But then that $20,000 is really for investing in their dreams. And their options around that are around investing in existing property that they have, so like fixing up their home or purchasing property in the neighborhood, starting or expanding a business in the neighborhood, and or starting an investment account.
And are there guidelines that are given to the residents sort of before they start making any decisions about this?
So we do, you know, there's, again, the conversations with the financial planners mm-hmm. that really gives them an opportunity to look at what's the full picture of your wealth right now, you know, looking at the assets and the debts so that they understand where their levers and opportunities for creating wealth for their family. And then to help them in deciding how they want to invest, we've had a series of workshops and other experts come in and talk to them about real estate investing and the importance of creating business plans and what all is needed to get a business off the ground and sustainable, understanding what kinds of upgrades to a home improve the value of the home. So those kinds of guidance were also provided to help mm-hmm. them.
So Alicia Bay is a West End resident who has been part of the program for the past year. And she told our producer, Aula Kuziz, that access to investment capital and a financial coach has helped her take her smoothie business to the next level.
It's not that often that there are organizations that are willing to help without a fee. Overall, I just feel more knowledgeable. Before, just felt like you had to pay to get this information because it was, you know, more or less withheld because the people that are in business, you know, work so hard to find the resources and the information that they kind of gatekeep the information. But through the coaching, that information was readily provided without, you know, any hesitation.
So Alicia May just spoke to a couple of things that I would like to touch upon, and that has to do with not being a fee for anything that they were doing, and also about information that is withheld. So given that context, I imagine that some residents maybe were hesitant about participating in the program because it just sounds too good to be true. Dara, how is it that you explained the program to the residents to get their buy-in?
That is such a great question and very astute. I can remember that when we were door knocking in the neighborhood to introduce the opportunity, we had a number of households who, you know, either wouldn't open the door, or when they did, they immediately said, oh, I'm not interested in selling, or I don't want a loan, or, you know, they thought that we were like offering cash for homes, or, you know, all of these things. Mm-hmm. And finally, a few residents said, you know, we're just not used to something like this, because as you said, it does sound too good to be true. But I think what helped us in getting people interested in trusting that this is something that is real and meaningful was one, we've had a long relationship in the West End and Visitation Park. We started working and investing in that neighborhood in 2018 and have worked with both the CDC, Cornerstone Corporation there, as well as residents there. And so there was some, for a lot of people within the neighborhood, there was some familiarity with Invest STL. But then there were, for some, there wasn't. And so they asked around to other nonprofits about us.
Okay.
But, you know, explaining the opportunity was essentially like, look, we're a nonprofit. We have grant dollars, and it's focused on supporting people who have been here to be able to stay here, because we know that there's a lot of change happening in your neighborhood. And we know that you all are deeply committed to this place, and we just want to be able to help that.
And for those who are not familiar, I mean, what kind of change are you talking about that's been happening around there?
So the West End Visitation Park, there's a lot of development that's happening at its perimeter. If you're not familiar with it, its boundaries to the south are as Del Mar Boulevard. To the north, you've got Page. And then on the east, Union, and the west, Skinker. Mm-hmm. So that means that it is taking up a portion of the Loop, as well as what is now being known as the Del Mar Maker District. So there's a lot of building that's happening around their perimeter, and that has then sparked additional investment, or really speculative buying, on the interior of the neighborhood, which is causing, you know, real shifts in the neighborhood's market, but also some very early signs of how the neighborhood is, how some of the interactions and norms are starting to change as well.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned 2018, Dara, as the time you started sort of reaching out to people. If it took that long, so 2018 to 2022, 23, how long were you willing to do that work to make it happen?
The good thing is that the initial outreach in 2018 wasn't about Rooted. It was about getting to know this neighborhood and supporting the work that the residents were already giving lots of energy to, and supporting them in developing a vision for their neighborhood. And it is through that relationship that we really got to learn about the concerns about the changing neighborhood market that then inspired Rooted. So it doesn't take that long to be able to launch something like Rooted, but it was really helpful that we already had that relationship.
Right. Now, the program is getting some national attention, which we mentioned at the top, and you were at the Aspen Ideas Festival last month. Dara, what is it that you presented there, and, you know, how was it that what you were speaking about maybe was different from other things that were being talked about in that space?
So I was on a panel talking about the great wealth transfer, right? This idea of that in the next few years, we're going to see an immense amount of wealth being handed down from older generations to younger generations. But that inheritance is not universal for all Americans. And so how do we create an inheritance for everyone? I was lucky to be on a panel with leadership from Wells Fargo, leadership from a huge family foundation in Denver, and a private capital strategist out of New York. And, you know, we all talked about many of the things that we're using in our tool chest, but what I would say is distinct about what I was able to share from St. Louis was about this intersection of place and people and the opportunities that we can create when we invest in both at the same time. And particularly that when we are doing place-based investing, there has to be a people-based investing component as well.
Right. So for those who are thinking about money that is, you know, quote, given away, the Rooted Initiative, it might be compared to universal basic income programs. What is it that does make Rooted different from programs like that?
Well, one, if I can just say, you know, because I fear that some people will hear given away. And,
yes.
You know, there's then these notions around deservedness that are attached to that. And I just want to remind our audience that America has a very long history of offering products and opportunities to a distinct segment of America to create wealth, very much given away. So this doesn't do anything different than what we've done historically. How it differs from universal basic income is, you know, UBI or general basic income, similar programs, it's a relatively large amount of money, but it's distributed in small portions over time. And many of the UBI pilots around the country are very widely dispersed throughout a large metro area. So you might lay up 100 to 500 people, but they're in a huge population, not all within the same sub-geography of that region. Rooted is a relatively large sum of money distributed virtually lump sum. And it's all concentrated in one relatively small neighborhood, right? There's like 8,000 people within this neighborhood.
Right.
And so from a market level, it means that we're presenting an opportunity not just for households or individuals to benefit, but you can actually tee things up to see neighborhood level change when you've got 50 people receiving $1 million that they're able to invest within themselves within that very place. The other thing, the piece about, you know, the large disbursement virtually lump sum is the research shows us that when people have small chunks of money that are distributed to them, that's nice. It is helpful, and we should continue to do that. But those small chunks of money allow us to tend to things, right? Mm. Get the car fixed, pay a bill, maybe pay, you know, a semester of tuition. When we have large sums that are distributed virtually all at once, that allows us to tend to dreams. So that long-term vision for ourselves and our families.
Mm-hmm. And why is it that you want folks who are working at sort of a national level or in other parts of the country to understand this very hyper-local initiative? I mean, are there other cities or organizations maybe doing this that need to hear how it is working here in order to make a case for it?
We actually have gotten a lot of calls from organizations across the country, some that are working nationally, some that are working in, you know, a few states within a region, all trying to crack the wealth building code. And they have been doing it in the fashion kind of like a UBI, right, where it is just broadly dispersed. What they're picking up on is the uniqueness and the opportunity for having very measurable impact when you're focusing on a neighborhood and you're doing a large lump sum paired with the financial planning financial advising that goes beyond the credit coaching and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
They see that there is an opportunity to actually help people build wealth versus just improve the current economic status. And those are very different conversations.
Right. So Rooted is focused on existing residents, not incoming ones. Why is it that you're prioritizing that, especially against a backdrop of other programs that might focus on making some improvements to an area and then bringing new residents in? I mean, new residents who may be lower income, but why the existing residents?
Oh, it's such a big question for me, right? There's the data and then there's the heart of it.
Mm-hmm.
One, St. Louis has a history of displacing communities because of, you know, what is being speculated for the future. And that's not unique to St. Louis, but we have quite a few examples of it here. When we look at our headlines, certainly of recent days, we're looking at population decline, and our conversation is so focused on how do we get more people here to stabilize and grow the population. But there's a first component to population growth, and that is stabilizing it, which means supporting people to stay in place. And that just doesn't exist at a regional level. That also means it needs to happen at a neighborhood level as well. The heart piece of it is these are people who have dedicated entire generations of their families to these neighborhoods that are often neglected by the broader system, are often left out of investment and other opportunities by the broader system. And so they have tended to these places one generation after another, created the relationships, you know, made lemonade out of, you know, the few things that might be offered to them by the system. And so it is an unjust thing that when a few people decide, oh, this is the next hot place, that those who have been there all along have to now move on. Mm-hmm. And so our work is really focused on how do we support people in staying within their neighborhoods that they've cared for so long, and also benefit from the economic upturn, and also build power for themselves to direct the future of that mm-hmm. place.
We're going to take a quick break here, but we'll be back shortly to continue this conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation with Dara Eskridge, CEO of Invest STL. We're talking about the organization's Rooted initiative, which gives residents of the St. Louis West End and Visitation Park neighborhoods funding to invest for wealth building, which includes home improvement and entrepreneurial efforts, among other uses. Dara, before the break, we were talking about prioritizing and supporting current residents. You also mentioned their concerns about change. What specifically are those concerns for them?
The chief concern is that the place that they've, you know, grown their families in will no longer be theirs. It will no longer be for them. Important history, particularly for this neighborhood or these two neighborhoods, is that many of the families that are there were displaced from Mill Creek Valley, mm-hmm. right, back in the 50s. And while families were dispersed to many different places, the greatest concentration landed in Visitation Park in the West End. And so that means that at present day, we have families who have been in that neighborhood for 4, 5, 6, even 7 generations. And what they're seeing around them is, you know, you've got these tactics by speculative buyers who might call, you know, local government to cite their properties, you know, because there's a loose shingle or chip paint or too tall grass, with the anticipation that that family may not be able to handle those maintenance requirements. Those citations will build up. Those citations have fees attached to them. And eventually, the family is at risk of losing their house for pennies on the dollar at auction so that the speculative buyer can get it. That is the very real pressure mm-hmm. that we've heard from residents throughout, you know, our relationship and even when we were door knocking. But then there's also just the idea of things are happening in their neighborhood without their consent, without their understanding, and without their direction. These are people who know their neighborhood very well and know their neighbors well, and they have their own dreams about how they want their neighborhood to evolve, and mm-hmm. so they want the space to be able to direct that.
Right. So, Dara, it has been a year since the launch of the program, and your team is in the process of analyzing data. Talk with us a little bit about what success for this program would look like and how you are measuring that.
Sure. And I'd be remiss if I didn't, you know, just call out that it's Michelle Whithouse on our team who leads Rooted on the day-to-day, and then on the data side, working with the Center for Civic Research and Innovation here in St. Louis and Urban Institute out of D.C. as our evaluation partner. When we're looking at success, you know, the chief thing is this is a direct wealth investment strategy for anti-displacement. So the chief thing that we're looking mm-hmm. at is, are people able to stay, mm-hmm. right? At the end of the pilot, are these families still there despite all of the activity that's happening around them? And then we start to look at, okay, how has their wealth position improved? Are they truly on a wealth building track? We're looking at their assets. How have they grown? We're looking at what are the kind of the spinoff benefits to the broader neighborhood from an economic standpoint, right? Are we seeing that there's less market leakage? Are we seeing that there's more opportunities for people to spend their money within the neighborhood? Are we seeing that, equity in homes is increasing, and it's increasing for those who have been there and that they're able to benefit from that? But then there's these, secondary things that we've started observing for around, what does this kind of investment do in being able to create more cohesion within the neighborhood and people being more engaged within their community?
Mm-hmm. Alicia Bay, whom we heard from earlier, has been living in the West End neighborhood on and off all her life. And she now shares her home with her two daughters. She told producer Ala Kuziz that beyond financial support for her business, the Rooted Initiative helped her connect with her community.
I definitely feel a sense of unity now within the community. Before, I would see, neighbors in passing and not really know who they were or what, potential they had, what creativity they had. And now I can recognize a lot of the people in the community based upon what business they started or what, just overall benefits that they provide, whether it's lawn care or plumbing or, what have you. And it just made me feel more appreciative of my community.
So, Dara, Alicia touches on a number of things that you were talking about before we introduced that audio. How does what Alicia shared compare with what you've heard from other residents and maybe two aspects of, quote-unquote, success that you may not have been anticipating but have actually shown up?
So I think what Alicia shared is something that we've heard from a number of the participants in Rooted. But also, I do want to point out, right, like we didn't create this new kind of resident in the West End, the visitation part. Mm-hmm. There have been so many residents who have been caring for their community, showing up for the neighborhood meetings, picking up the trash for so long. And so for some, it's helped them engage more. For others, it has just put more wind behind their back and what they've already been doing. Mm-hmm. And I love hearing that because of this investment, she now will go and pick up trash. And that sounds like a very scripted thing, but I just giving you a quick backstory. Alicia ran into me at Aldi a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. and she said that to me, and that's the kind of outcome that we will write when it hasn't happened. And then she said it in real life. I'm like, oh, wow. So it's not just about the money. It's really the whole notion of, life can be really hard and trying to do things on your home front can get very difficult because there's so many other things going on. But when there is a partner who's saying, hey, we believe in you, that just kind of re-energizes us to also dedicate ourselves to home.
Mm-hmm. Are there any limits or obstacles that residents or InvestSTL that you're facing with this initiative and sort of maybe taking it to the next level?
We have a lot of requests to scale Rooted and to replicate it. And, we've really been looking for what does the first year teach us for implications of what scaling can look like. So we're, waiting to get that data back. The only real obstacle that we've had in building this and launching it is kind of helping people get over this notion of deservedness, right? Mm-hmm. Which we were talking about a little bit ago. This idea that, oh no, you can't just give people money. What if they don't do the right thing with it? We need more strings attached. And surprisingly, we also heard some of that, not just from funders, but also from some residents, right? Because that's just how we're wired. We're right. wired to believe that people don't know how to spend money. But what we've seen with this group of 50 is they're all being extra responsible, mm-hmm. and they're investing in ways that are really meaningful for their family.
Yeah. So along with this Rooted initiative, InvestSTL has other programs as well. And one of them is the Small Dollars Action Fund. Dara, can you tell us about that and who should consider applying?
So the next cycle of Small Dollars actually opens tomorrow. And this is something that is focused on resident organizations, small groups of resident collectives. It doesn't have to be a C3 or a formal entity. You just need to have three or more residents getting together who want to do something for their neighborhood. Mm. In other places around the country, there are these small pots of money that allow residents to just, you know, practice neighborliness, you know, bask in the joy of sharing a place together, but also in the business of sharing a place together. Mm. And so these awards are, you know, up to $2,000. People have done block parties. They have created T-shirts to do neighborhood cleanups. They have reclaimed vacant property to create a gathering space for, you know, older residents. It's just, you know, a little bit of money to just keep encouraging residents to interact and grow and build their place together.
Mm-hmm. Dara Eskridge is CEO of InvestSTL. Dara, thank you so much for coming by to talk with us today.
Thank you.
Today's segment was produced by Aula Kuziz.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.